When I was a kid, I really wanted to be a mime. I used to train for it all the time. One day, my dad said, "Son, I don't actually think you've got what it takes to be a mime." And so I asked, "Was it something I said?" And he said, "Yes." Medis, do you get it?
Yeah, I get it. Right, he went even before you'd given.
Yeah.
I
Well,
knew
once
it.
you what,
I knew
once
where
you
it
say
was
that,
going.
yeah, once you say the setup, it's very obvious what the joke is, isn't it? But I like that joke a lot. In fact, I have to give the person credit, which I need to start doing. I need to start, remind myself to do, is Damien Slash from the 2015 Edinburgh Fringe. That was from. So, very good joke to Mr. Slash of the Slash family.
Talented family. Comes from
Yeah,
Roses as well.
exactly. So yeah, there's the joke. Thoughts?
So, before we started this podcast, Nate said he had a long list of jokes and that I'm going to give them all 10 out of 10.
Well, a long
And
list of
so.
jokes from this art from this article. I already have a list of jokes anyway, but I found this in some research, some joke related research. So yeah, it's a new list.
But I think the problem, Nate, is that I then had quite
High
high
expectations.
expectations.
I see.
And
I screwed
I did
myself. Is that what
like
you're
it.
saying?
I did like it. You did. And so I'm going to give you an eight because it
Okay.
was good, but I was
Yeah.
expecting better. And so, yeah,
That's fair.
eight.
That's what my
Eight.
that's no, that's not too bad. Yeah, I think that's fine. And you did laugh before the punchline, which never I'm never sure if that bodes well or badly for a joke, but
Your own arrogance tripped you up on that one. Cost
yeah,
you points, I think.
hubris. Pride before a fall.
Yeah.
I was like, what was his face? You know, the guy who flew close to the sun and then his entire
Icarus.
face fell off. I know that's not what
Yeah.
happened. He flew too close to the sun and then he died of sunburn.
Okay, we
So.
should start the podcast soon, should we? Welcome to the Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lance Bretto, F1 correspondent and presenter.
Easy for you to say. I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders from ESPN.
Bretto's already shunted.
I know. I thought I'd controlled the shunt because Nate was like giggling to himself because I like it when Nate says something that he thinks is funny and then he
Which is a
giggles.
lot of
He
the time, actually.
does kind of like a little like head wobble. And that always makes me laugh. And I thought I'd controlled the shunt, and I couldn't quite do it, mate. Couldn't do
I've never noticed I do a head wobble. I'm gonna have to see next
No, but
time.
this has now just reminded me already of the Pirelli lunch that we all went to on
Oh God.
Friday last week. And Nate did some dancing at the table. And he
We
which
calling it
got was
dancing?
it was one of my most liked Instagram videos I've ever put on my Instagram. I had about 30 people be like, "That's hilarious, love it."
It
I'm happy for us
was
to share it on
truly
the Pad Hoc.
sensational.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was so there's a Dua Lipa dance for anybody you know who wants the context, where she like very unenthusiastically did this like hip thrusting thing. I think I'd do it better personally. I don't know what you guys thought, but it went down a treat.
I think you definitely do it better to the point where I was kind of doing it all weekend. I've just been away.
Oh,
With
no way.
Sabrina in Paris, and every so often I just did it. I just did the movement. She was like, "Well, what are you doing?" And I was like,
Amazing.
"Oh no,
So that's
we've got
over
to
then,
get
right?
the three of us to do that for a promo video for this pod."
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely
Medis.
not.
Oh,
Absolutely.
I'm in. Medis, you
Absolutely.
got
Well,
me
fine.
in.
Me and Lawrence are doing it, and Medis can stand in the background looking grumpy,
Where did
not
this
doing
come from? It was hilarious. The fact that we were in quite a nice restaurant in a nice hotel in the middle of London, being wined and dined, and you were stood up twerking essentially, a type of. It's like a half-sided hip twerk. Was quite the
It's
setting.
like a side, but it's not a twerk in it doesn't it's not vertical movement, is it, as much as it's kind of a diagonal
The
kind of,
diagonal, yeah.
you know, like twerk. So you're
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
But honestly, I don't know why. That has made me so happy that you went away and you were doing it so much that it actually got referenced. That's amazing. Because I ended up doing it again later in the night, and I couldn't quite remember who was in the room when I did it the second time. we're in a pub, and I just remember doing it. And I think some of the same people were there, but I'm pretty sure there were two just random people watching, and they also loved it. They were like, "Is that the Dua Lipa dance?" I was like, "Absolutely, it is."
I yeah, think if so people are calling it out without any context, Nate, that is sensational.
They're telling all their mates now. They're like, "I saw a guy do the Dua Lipa dance better than she did it." And yeah, so I mean, maybe this could be your new red flag gift, Meadows.
It's got potential. Although
green flag, but, actually, no, we're racing again.
Yeah, so exactly. That's going to be a positive gift. We'll put it on the socials and we'll let the listeners make their minds up if they want to see any more of that.
Yeah, let people vote on that, on all of it, on all the dancing. Maybe we'll just become a dance troupe, three-man dance troupe.
I don't think Medis wants anything to do with this.
Medis is just
I'm surprised that I've even agreed to it, frankly. So,
to be honest, I thought it was going to be two of you against very much my plan. But yeah, all we got to do is get Medis on board now.
I'm just astounded that Barreto's still smiling after a weekend away with his better half where he was doing that dance, essentially replicating you replicating that dance, which is just astounding. Goes on a romantic long weekend and does that. I mean.
And we're still together, so it's great.
For now.
Yeah. You. What's worse, you telling her you were doing a dance that you saw Dua Lipa do, or you doing a dance that you saw Nate do, that he saw Dua Lipa do? I don't know which one is the worst explanation. Probably they've both got some very big question marks, red flags to them, haven't they?
I think it's more endearing that it was you, Nate. That kind of just about will help Barreto in this situation. But it didn't get a good review from me. But what did get good reviews was our podcast.
Hey.
Matt has been planning that segue since we started.
Pretty much. Just wanted to move on from these two doing weird dances.
And now you know how I feel when you guys spend 20 minutes talking about golf.
This is
the same. We've got to find Lawrence's one of these. So for me, it's golf. For you, it's dancing. Lawrence has got to have a topic where he's like, I want to get out of here.
I'm not sure what that is yet.
We'll find it.
These reviews are great for the topic you guys have basically just done somehow, because one of them is titled "Is Lawrence Barreto the cutest human in existence?"
And
it's from someone whose username in the US of A is "Go Lick a Clown," which is a great, well, that's, is it a great username? I don't know. 5 stars. This podcast makes a very strong argument for that. That's the whole review. So Barreto, that review will be revoked when they hear what you've been doing over the weekend. Then we've got one from BW the Kid, also in America, 5 stars, titled "Nate's jokes are not sausages." Sometimes it's F1 content and sometimes it's just content. Either way, I look forward to seeing how the sausage is made every week. So,
oh yeah,
I don't know if you really want to know how the Pirelli lunch went down though, from the insight you've so far had. And the final one is from Rock and Sock 049, also in America. 3 American reviews today. 5 stars, F1 without the seriousness. Exactly. There's no F1 involved here, just no seriousness. A great podcast for F1 fans who like exploring the fun side of the sport. A really cool intro song that I don't know the name of, although I do listen at 1.5 speed, so it could be rubbish at regular speed. I read that bit quite quickly, so that would have been fun at 1.5 speed. I might try and do the rest of this review really quickly as well, just to see if Rock and Sock 049 has to slow it down to hear. A fun game to play is to pick out which of Lawrence's laughs are the highest pitched. I highly recommend for anyone who loves F1.
Nice.
Did you get that?
I barely understood that.
Just about. Yeah. I think you said, "I'm actually going to join you two both at Silverstone and do a really good dance." What I heard, Lawrence, did you hear the same thing?
Yeah, I heard the same. Yeah, thinking about it.
We'll have to slow it down. If you play it in reverse, like those Beatles songs, that's also what you said. It's like, "I will do the Dua Lipa dance with you."
Wow.
Anyway, back to the reviews, Meadows.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, that's all the reviews that we've had, but there's been 2 Twitter DMs that needed picking up on, because one is from Andy Lindberg. Now, Nate, do you remember Andy Lindberg?
I do, because I suggested he was related to Charles Lindberg.
You did.
Is he going to say he is related?
The DM says, "This is Andy Lindberg who left the 5-star review. I had a good laugh listening to the episode. Thank you as always. Unfortunately, I'm not related to Charles Lindbergh.
Oh.
But that doesn't mean I haven't told people I am.
Cheers, everyone. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Well, that's good. I would do the same thing. And I'm glad he enjoyed the bit. I was just reading segments off Wikipedia, as I remember rightly, of that. But your fake ancestor was a great man. So tip of the cap to you and the rest of the fake Lindbergh family. All Lindbergh families. They're all great people. All fantastic.
And the other person was someone who we were pretty sure had an alibi. It's good morning, chaps. Neil Jason Bourne Sinnott here from last week's show. I am very much a real person, Nate. I would love to be a lower league football manager, but I'm not. To give some context on my moving around the world, I live in Singapore. I have since September 2020. However, I was recently in Lisbon and Luxembourg, where I did live and work for 9.5 years for work events. I was also in the south of France for a few days of relaxation between work events in Lisbon and Luxembourg. The offer for my balcony is still there for Singapore. Lovely. So that was Neil Sinnott from last week's show.
That's some good travelling.
Yeah.
Did you say his name is Neil Jason Bourne Sinnott?
He sounded like he was actually Jason Bourne because movements and where he'd been and stuff.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry, I get you. Sorry, guys, I'm being a bit slow today. And every day we do this pod.
Yeah.
Especially today. Good, but thanks everyone for sending those in. And if anyone is listening who is related to Charles Lindbergh, please do get in touch.
Yeah, or Jason Bourne,
because there's a listener who is using your family's name, fraudulently. We have found out. So I would do the same thing though. There's no famous Saunderses. Saundersies that I could do that with, but I would. French and Saunders. Yeah, I often tell people I'm
Jennifer Saunders.
French and Saunders. I am both French and Saunders.
I did know a guy called Paul French when I did an internship at FHM, and he was the only other guy that liked sport on the news desk. So if I can find him, then I can put you two together in a bar and it'll be French and Saunders.
Yeah, do it.
Bretta danced to that again. He did a little head wobble.
Was that me? He was mocking my
head
movement when I giggled to myself.
I was,
which yes. I'm now very conscious. Now I'm very conscious of.
Oh, sorry, Nate. Sorry. No, but should we take this back to motorsport, guys?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and so. Medders, you've been doing some actual motorsport work, haven't you? You've been to McLaren and to Red Bull in successive days.
I know.
Tell me
more. I am a globetrotter who has been to Woking and Milton Keynes. I went to McLaren yesterday morning, as we record this, to hear about their new title partnership for their electric racing teams, so for Extreme E and Formula E, and it's NEOM, the like region in Saudi Arabia, so that's fun. Which was just a huge wedge of cash, I assume, has gone to McLaren as a sponsorship deal, and McLaren say they're going to be one of the first tenants in this city that they're building there, that's going to be like a future technology city called Oxagom, I want to say. I'm going to actually have to check that while I speak.
Who's naming these places? NEOM and Oxagom.
It's a city in NEOM. And Meow. According to the website, it will be a new paradigm where people, industries, and technology come together in harmony with nature. Essentially, watching it, it felt like their attempt to say, this is utopia. We're going to fix the world. And I can't say I bought it. But that's what McLaren invited us down for, and got to speak to Zach Brown for a little bit about essentially that, but also kind of some budget cap stuff that's related to F1 and how if you have lots of other racing series, you can maybe invest more in facilities and stuff that will impact on all of the racing series, whereas the CapEx isn't worth it if it's just for one series. So that's kind of one of the reasons they're doing it. So that was okay. I mean, it's always nice to go to the MTC. It's a cool place. And we got to do the walk between, they have this cool spaceship-like area called the Thought Leadership Center, where we recorded an episode earlier this year. There's a photo on our socials of that, I think.
The room we liken to being in the UN.
Yeah. So that we were downstairs in like a almost like a cinema room for the announcement and kind of Q&A's. But then we walked through to the actual boulevard in the MTC, so where you see lots of lovely photos of gorgeous racing cars at sunset and things. And walking there, we had to walk through this tunnel where all the old F1 cars were lined up, like loads of them, which is very, very cool. We weren't allowed to take photos, annoyingly, but yeah, that was cool. So that was Monday morning. And then today was an earlier start to get up to Milton Keynes for Red Bull to launch their own hypercar that they're going to build, which we will get onto in a second. But to dance onto sensitive topics, it kind of got overshadowed completely, because that's when Nelson Piquet's comments sort of came out as responses were coming from Formula One and the FIA and Mercedes. So nobody was really paying attention to what Red Bull were doing, rightly so. And instead, people were condemning Nelson Piquet for being an absolute idiot. So, yeah, a bit of a shame that it's so far, it's just condemning. I think there's going to be maybe some action taken, because I think, as Lewis said, action is now needed. There's enough saying, well, people need to learn more. There might be nuance to it, and that different. So I asked a native speaker the word he used, and they said it wasn't the same word that some people were translating it as, but it was still derogatory and had racial connotations as a racial slur. So still bad. Just not that direct quote, so don't say it was that word. But then others who are also native speakers say it can be translated that way, so even that shows you it's damn hard to work out who's saying what. But there's no question that what he's saying is completely wrong. So
it's a funny one, because it's like I never get that when people say, well, it's not always used in a derogatory sense. It's like, the guy's got a name. Like, if you just want, if you're going to talk about him, use his bloody name. Like, it doesn't matter, like, that people trip over themselves and they're like, oh, but it means this. It's like, if PK just said Hamilton, blah, 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 we're not talking about this right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And people like make this mental gymnastics about it all. There's a great bit in a John Mulaney stand-up where he talks about, so he said in one of his shows he wanted to use the word midget, and he said he's not allowed to use it. And he went to his producers and he said, can I use this word? And they said, well, we think it's the same as using the N-word. And he said, well, the fact that one of those words you can't even say to me suggests it isn't the same. Like, even if one is bad, the other, So it's similar there. The fact that you have to clarify it by saying, well, it isn't this abbreviated word, but it is that. I don't know. There's lots of mental gymnastics going on. So, and you're right. I think I just saw Phil Duncan from PA tweet that he understands one thing could be a ban from the paddock, which a few people have suggested should be the case. But at the same time, I don't know how effective. I mean, I don't know whether that's a big punishment. You know, PK is not around that often. I think that should be something he does. But maybe him publicly apologizing is something that's actually.
He needs to apologize 1,000%.
Yeah, him doing that. Him doing it like to Lewis, I think if they set something up where it's like, if Lewis wants to do it, obviously he doesn't need to, but something like that, like him having to almost humiliate himself, because being banned from the paddock, it's like he's almost like out of sight, out of mind then.
Yeah, which be that, like you say, I can't remember last time we've seen him in the paddock.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That won't change his life.
A lot of older drivers. Yeah, exactly. Like, it might be frustrating for him, but he's a very rich man and he lives, lives a family life away, whatever. So I don't think it's going to affect him that much. But having to actually come on TV and say that, I think, I think is a more robust punishment. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, F1, with everything they've stood for, they can't really afford to not do something. And it would be pretty shameful if they didn't do it, if they didn't. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was a slightly strange moment as well, finishing up at Red Bull, when I checked with the team. I was like, are you going to put a statement out about this? Because quite a few people had asked on Twitter, said, look, Red Bull haven't said anything. And the context there being that Max goes out with Kelly Piquet. So, I mean, the direct link to Nelson. And I get that the team were kind of, I think they're dealing with their own stuff with Yuri Vips, who we mentioned last week. But
yeah,
there's nothing stopping them coming out and showing where their stance is. They did it with Nicholas Latifi at the end of last year when he got death threats. I think that they could well have come out, but they said they weren't going to. And I think they see the detachment that, well, if Max wants to say something, I guess, he can if he feels that it's close to home for him. But Ferrari have come out and said they stand by Lewis and made their position known. I mean, teams can do that just to kind of say that this is completely unacceptable and distance themselves from comments. Even if, the guy's a three-time world champion, so what? Like, so what for what he's done in the past in that sense? You've got to, that doesn't excuse anything like this. But I think the flip side was, my first reaction was to not give him the air, not give him the oxygen, not let those sorts of comments even permeate. It becomes difficult then, because it's, does that sound like you're ignoring it, or kind of by not making a point about it, then you're almost not endorsing it, but you're letting them get away with it? I don't know. It's tricky thing to handle, isn't it?
Yeah, I did similar this week, not with that. I was off this morning, so didn't cover that PK story, but yesterday was in the office, and there were some Bernie quotes to the Mail over the weekend where Bernie said, I think Lewis should quit. But one part of that that is actually interesting, and it chimes with what Lewis said, was Bernie did the classic thing where he was like, I don't know why Lewis wears the clothes he does. Like, is he just, you know, is it all for attention? And that's exactly what Lewis is talking about when he says attitudes need to change. The amount of times people go, James Hunt never would have worn that. It's like, no, why is that relevant to anything? Like, James, I wouldn't dress the same as James Hunt. Doesn't mean I'm, you know, it's a different time and all this, but it's always aimed at Lewis. It's never aimed at anyone else. You know, some of the Red Bull guys coming in with like those big caps on that you love, Meadows, for example, you know, the ones like those are trendy. Some people don't like them, but no one ever says, oh, Gasly wears some funky hats.
Well, did you see Gasly's sort of jumper and shorts combo? I think it was Louis Vuitton one that he was wearing over the weekend. Yeah. I might have just given the wrong plug to the wrong designer, but I looked at that and I was like, you know, that's, yeah, I wouldn't personally wear it, but it's cool. I wish I could carry that sort of thing off, but it's different. But no one's kind of complaining that that's a bit different to kind of mundane clothing, the right thing, but kind of everyday clothing that a lot of people seem to wear. But you're right, when Lewis then wears it, it's a point that's made. So, you know, there's clearly subconscious things going on here as well that we all have to kind of be aware of. But when it's this overt, like it was with whatever PK said, however it officially translates, it can't just be, well, we don't like that and we back Lewis. It has to be, this is the repercussion almost, because if anyone else, like you said, you can't just kind of not, punish is kind of the wrong word, but maybe it's not, you know, to effect change, you have to take action now. I think Lewis made a very good point that it's been over 2 years since we races won, and some of the gestures that were taking place pre-races. And since then, if you're then not taking action after 2 years of learning time as such, then, you know, what are you going to do? So
just to put a bow on it, I loved the way Lewis tweeted first when he quote tweeted that. I think so. I don't know who it was actually, but it was someone who had the name Formula Raducanu tweeted, imagine if Lewis Hamilton just, what was he said? But he tweeted, imagine.
He said, what if Lewis Hamilton came out and just said, who the F is Nelson Piquet? Yeah.
And then just logged off Twitter, and he was just like, imagine. Yeah. I thought it was a pretty, and then he obviously tweeted a follow up, but I thought that was a really good way of dealing with it as well, because I thought it was a pretty great tweet. So yeah. I think Lewis has dealt with it well, and it's a shame for him that he always has to deal with this, and there's still people that feel like him reacting to it is somehow his fault. I feel for the guy. But so Lewis is going to win this weekend, right? this is always like the setup to a story where Lewis finds something within him and does some crazy race. I feel like going into Silverstone as well, like his home race, it feels like it's, I don't know, it's a shame we're going to go into it talking about that, really, but never mind.
Yeah, but in a sense, it leads talking about to then make sure it stops. But yeah, you are right. And it does normally, you know, when he feels like he's facing adversity, he does pull out his best performances. So it will be interesting to see how he handles it. And you hope it's not something that's a heavy distraction to him or anything like that, or something that affects his, I guess, performance or the way his weekend goes, because that really wouldn't be fair either. But the fact that we could just sit here and talk about it, and we could talk for ages about so much about kind of the whole situation. But that shows what it was like then this morning, when it was Red Bull are there trying to show off their lovely new hypercar, and most people are heads buried in phones while they're doing a presentation, because they're dealing with that and chasing statements and opinions. So that was a bit that sort of took attention away from what Red Bull were announcing, but probably for the best, because Red Bull were announcing a nice cheap £5 million hypercar plus VAT, so £6 million hypercar that Adrian Newey is going to do. So the car does look cool. The idea is interesting. It's track only, so it's going to be higher performance than the Valkyrie that he did. So all of that was quite interesting, but just didn't get all the focus at the time. But got to go into MK7, where they've got all their cars lined up, which is a cool kind of like entertainment venue that they have at their Red Bull campus in Milton Keynes, which now has, I think it said, 8 buildings. It used to be 2 when they started out. And it's got Red Bull Applied Technologies in there too. So where they do other projects, and they do an America's Cup boat that they're supporting. They're working on BMC bikes. There was something else they said. Oh, a submarine, I think they're working on in some way, shape or form. So again, this was a little bit though, like Zach said, about where you can invest in certain facilities because there's more of a return when it's across different projects or different racing series, like Red Bull doing the same. Now under budget cap, they could redistribute people to their Applied Technologies arm and then take on more projects. So they've let Adrian Newey design the racing car of his dreams, essentially, that isn't F1 regulation bound, and it's a 2-seater, and it's going to be very, very fast. He wants it to be like an F1 car. So that was today.
Wow.
It's a good way of keeping Adrian kind of in the family, isn't it, really? Because I guess if you keep him interested on projects he wants to be involved with, that means you can A, keep him involved in the Formula One project, but B, keep him away from other teams and their respective F1 projects. So it sounds like a good balance, and I guess a happy Adrian Newey is a better one than a sad Adrian Newey.
But they're running out of things to let him build. Like what they build for? What's he build next? Like a rocket? Does he say, right, we want you to build the first rocket, Red Bull rocket, to go to the moon or something? Like, you know, he's done a car. There's not a lot of other things.
Are we cool if they did maybe like a land speed record? Is that a thing anymore?
That would be.
Yeah, I think so.
Do people still trying to build cars for that? It'd be cool if you could do that. There's plenty of things.
Yeah, the esteemed David Tremaine is still trying to set the British land speed record in a rocket powered car. Honestly, he's trying. But yeah, it was quite interesting what Newey said, actually, because one, he admitted, yeah, he needed this sort of thing to kind of keep him interested when he not gets bored, but when F1's maybe not going well. That's why he ended up doing the Valkyrie, because he's like, Red Bull were hamstrung by their engine at the time. And then he said, it was this Christmas, he was meant to go to South Africa, as he normally would, where his wife's family are, or go skiing, but with COVID restrictions and stuff, they couldn't do it. So he had more time at home, and he just said he started sketching this car, and it kind of went from there. So I think he just started drawing it and then said to them, I want to do that. But he also said when he did the Valkyrie, because that was a ground effect car, that they learned stuff for the current F1 car, because there was stuff you could kind of take from it with Venturi tunnels and stuff. So actually doing projects like this, even though it's not to do with F1, can lead to crossovers that help with F1. So maybe this is Newey just sussing out what he's going to do with the 2026 F1 car.
Yeah. Maybe Red Bull were like, we need to find something outside the cost cap that we can so go build this car. That's me joking, by the way. I'm not actually insinuating that. But me and Lawrence, we met up on the grid in Canada, as you do, and we saw Adrian walk past us, didn't we? And he had his little notepad in his hand, and he was just walking up and down the grid, and he was just looking, as he does all the time, just looking at other cars. And I love the fact he just walks around with like a little clipboard.
An old school clipboard, yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool, because he's clearly... I was watching, there was an all-access thing Red Bull did ages ago that randomly popped up. Sometimes when I'm working, I just have YouTube on, like behind me, but it popped over to a Red Bull video after like 2016, and Horner's giving a tour of the factory, and he goes into Adrian's office, and he says, well, here's Adrian's filing cabinet, and it is just papers everywhere. And the secretary said Adrian likes to have all of his emails printed out, because he said like he likes to sit in the back of the car and read them all and annotate them. And I was just like, this guy's brain just works so differently to how most people's do. And usually that's what you see, isn't it, with people who are entrepreneurs or people who do, you know, think outside the box, often end up going on to do great things. So I find him a really fascinating character. I'd love also to see on TV if it actually turned out on those notepads he was just drawing like smiley faces, or you know how like when you're dawdling, you draw like a spider in the corner of the page or something like that. He's actually just never done any drawing on there. He's just a doodler. That'd be funny.
Well, we did get a little tour today as well, just to see like what they've expanded and what they've got at Red Bull, just because everyone had come to see this announcement. And they pointed out where Christian's office is and where Adrian's is, and you could see through the window. And they said, you know, they pointed out that he's still got a like drawing board in there, so he still sketches stuff. Even today. Wow. It's not that he's then changed. And they joked, the guy doing the tour joked, that it was like an absolute nightmare for basically the rest of the technical team, because then they have to basically ingest that into digital form to try and start working on it in the way their processes are. So, you know, they were like, oh, they love him for that. But yeah, it was quite cool to see behind the scenes again at an F1 team, because you don't get to do it all that often. And even like McLaren on Monday wasn't a you know, we were lucky enough to walk through a certain section that was really cool, but you didn't get a tour or anything. In fact, you're told you couldn't take photos in certain directions because they were prepping the cars for Silverstone in the race base. So they didn't want anything being seen. So that was quite funny because it's where they launched the liveries of the Extreme E and Formula E car. And basically you had to stand at a certain angle. Otherwise your photo had to be very tightly cropped. But yeah, it's always cool to see. There was one thing actually I did see talking about like land speed records and stuff. There's a Red Bull suspended above their canteen, basically, or one of their like cafe areas, just as you head out a set of doors. And it's there because Red Bull have kind of said one day they're going to drive an F1 car upside down. They're going to try that whole, it's got enough downforce that you can drive it on the roof of a tunnel or whatever. And it's that David Coulthard said at the time, yeah, I'll do that when you do it. So they then mounted one of his old cars upside down above one of the entrances so that when he walks in, it's reminded to him, it's like, you said you'd do this. So when we come to do it, you've got to do it. So I assume it's a long time ago they said they're going to, but they insist one day they will. So that'd be cool to see.
Can you imagine the insurance on that on that run? Like you go into a company and be like, right, look, just hear me out here. Okay. But with Red Bull, I'm going to actually drive upside down. And they say it's going to be fine.
He must be regretting that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that from DC. Like even then he was like, I want to be part of that like years ago. He can get his way out of that if he needs to. He'll be fine.
Maybe. He's normally been pretty good for that sort of thing, actually. He still does like show runs and stuff, doesn't he, for them? So I reckon he'd go for it. It'd be a big stunt. But yeah, maybe that's what Newey's next project should be, like how to make an F1 car run on a tunnel upside down.
Good. You killed the conversation upside down car. Don't know how to respond to that instead of where to go.
Go right way up. Talk Silverstone to me, Nate.
Ooh, nice. I'm buzzing for the weekend. I think it's going to be awesome. Love it at Silverstone. And yeah, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because I think Mercedes might be a bit better this weekend. If we think all these upgrades are coming in, and this we've probably had the worst two circuits for the bouncy that they've been doing. That's my official term for it now. It's the bouncy. So I won't hear anything else.
I thought that was your dance move.
Words. Yeah, actually, Dua Lipa-ing. That's what we should have called it the whole time. Dua Lipa-ing. That would have been. Oh man, we missed a whole opportunity there, didn't we?
Don't worry. There'll be bumpy circuits to come, Nate, where you can.
That's true. I'll bring it back. Dua Lipa-ing. Is she performing anywhere this year on the calendar? She was in Baku. Know. Am I right? Because of the bouncy.
Oh God.
I know. Sorry. Anyway, back to Silverstone chat. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hoping Mercedes will be a bit closer. I always love Silverstone because it's a great British venue in the sense that it's literally just in the middle of nowhere. Like I can't convey that to people enough. Like it's just a lot of circuits. You feel like you're, I don't know, in F1, you always get like half the circuits are like right in the center somewhere, like Montreal's like right in the middle, slap bang in the middle of an island, which is like right in the, you know, right in the heart of the city. And then you go to a place like Spa, which is in the middle of nowhere, or Silverstone, which is just like off a motorway. But it's just the best atmosphere. And Meadows could put his entire Twitter following in there now as well. So that's a bonus.
Could I?
What's your Twitter following at the moment, Meadows?
How many does Silverstone hold?
It can do 120,000?
Yeah, I think he passed
more than that. Silverstone must be able to hold more than that.
He's past Silverstone. Definitely.
160?
Yeah, I think it's more like 160 capacity. 150 apparently, according to Wikipedia, so you're way past that. You can always trust. I'm 185. But
you're Texas Motor Speedway at the moment.
Yeah.
I think.
Something like that. But I mean, that will disappear when I get cancelled after today. so, yeah.
You'll be down to one.
Yeah.
One follower. I don't know, which of us would it be? Maybe neither.
No, you're both.
Maybe neither of us.
You'll both side with the public sway of opinion and just be gone.
the pattern will follow you, though. So don't worry, you'll have one follower.
Yeah, well, he runs that account.
Yeah, because I control that login, that will be one follower. And it will endorse everything I say.
I'd be worried for your mental state if I logged in and it said Chris Medlin has no followers when one of the Twitter accounts that you run also unfollowed you.
And my mum.
I'm like, Medis, I'm coming to see you and it's going to be okay, man. Don't worry about it.
But
But do we think, is it going to be anything other than Max winning this weekend? I'm hopeful it will. But I think if it is, like, it's very, like, this is the part of the year where you're like, oh, man, this kind of sucks.
I'm going Charles to win. Although I do think it would be awesome if Lewis won, or George, either Britain or Merck at home, and that and they were that competitive. But I think that's just asking too much.
Like,
I
just think out of nowhere. Closer, like,
but yeah.
That, to me, would... I actually think we would then just stop talking about Ferrari, because I think Mercedes, over the course of a year, I'd back them in a competitive car way more than I'd back Ferrari. Just
A burn.
Just, you know, but just because you know how Ferrari are. Like, we saw them at Monaco, and I hate saying that, but Mercedes has that winning mentality from the last few years, and I don't think Ferrari does. I think it'd be great if Mercedes won, and I don't care. Well, it'd be nice if Lewis won on the back of what was said this week, but also Russell has been fantastic all year, and if he won, like, that would be what a way to claim your first victory, like, at home, almost make yourself a new hometown kind of national hero type thing. So yeah, that would be mega.
You're ruling out Lando winning?
I am. Sorry, Lando fans. But I mean, yeah, there's no rain around for them to nearly win in, so I don't think he'll win.
There was actually a tweet we got that related to Lando from Rob at F1 Dirty Side, who says...
Those good guys, I went on their podcast recently, so shout out to them.
So off the back of you singing Fernando last week, Rob says, the dare has to be, next time you're interviewing Norris, one of you plays drums in front of him while Nate pops up and sings, "Can you hear the drums for Lando?"
He said, but he won't. The problem with that is Lando Norris has, I will bet a lot of money that he has never heard an ABBA song in his life, unless his parents. He won't have a bloody clue that. What's going on with that.
I reckon,
which might make it funnier.
I reckon he must have heard at least one ABBA song.
I had to explain to Lando Norris once what internet dial-up was and play it to him on a phone. He doesn't know who ABBA are. Okay, I guarantee you he doesn't know that. And he listened to it and was like, what's that sound? I was like, that's the sound, Lando, we had to listen to when we logged onto the internet. He was like, but why? Why didn't it just go straight on? Like, no one sat him down at any point and explained this to him. I was like, come on, man. You must know this.
What? So no kind one has sat him down and been like, was this with Lando, Nate?
This was an esports event. This was Lando's rookie year, 2019. And I just made him passing. I was like, oh, you know, I could have been a gamer, but the internet back in the day wasn't as good. And I couldn't stand, I think I joked him, like, I couldn't stand listening to that dial-up tone every time I went to play. To which there was, like, complete silence. Like in response to a lot of the things I say on this pod.
Yeah.
It was just two blank, there was just a blank face looking back at me. And I was like, you know, the dial-up tone. And then Claire from F1, who'd helped facilitate the interview, Claire Edwards, who you guys both know, was like, come on, Lando, you know. Dial up, right? He was like, no. And then I think Charlotte Sefton was there and she was like, you know, dial up. And he was like, no, I don't know what this word is you keep saying. And so we played it and he was like, I don't understand it. So, and you know, maybe that's the thing. Maybe people under the age of, I don't know, 22 don't know what it is, but I'm using that as my basis to say Lando Norris does not know what ABBA is and will not know that joke. That was a long, long way around saying he won't get it.
Well, there is only one thing for this, Nate, then, isn't there?
Ask him.
You have to ask him.
It's to play ABBA to him. the amount of ridiculous questions we have to ask drivers based on these chats we get ourselves into. But yeah. No, yeah, I'm standing by it. Don't think he will. But,
okay. So are you accepting the challenge then?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I respect Rob's chat. I like it, but I can't bring myself to do that because he'll be like, yeah, he'll be like, why are you singing a song that isn't, it's Friday then and then Saturday, Sunday, what? You know, that's what he'll say. But I don't understand what this is. No, I'm sure Lando has very good music taste, just not ABBA.
Okay.
Greta, anyway.
I feel like we went down a rabbit hole then, didn't we? But
say a rabbit hole. Terrible. No. That was awful. I just thought because there were so many of the similar letters in that word.
That really wasn't worth interrupting for. Was it?
Yeah, no, I think
it really wasn't. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, Lawrence, because I love
you. Yourself.
I'm going to meet myself and just sit in silence while you talk about yourselves. Thanks, listeners. It's been an absolute treat. I'll be here, but you won't hear from me again.
So we're putting you on the naughty step, effectively. I think that Ferrari are going to be all right around here. I think that I think Red Bull are going to be pretty good. And I also think Merck are going to be pushing on them. So I think it's going to be quite exciting this weekend. Lots of teams have got upgrades. McLaren are bringing quite a decent upgrade, I think. Williams bringing an upgrade. So it'll be interesting to see who's upgrade. Nate is just doing all sorts of things in the background. And now he's gone away.
Yeah, it's buzz away. It was really subtle. Yeah, it was really well timed because he's on mute. And it was subtle. No one would have known. But you've just ruined it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. But I love Silverstone. I think it's a great weekend. I love the fact that it's rammed, full of people, excited, knowledgeable fans. I think the weather's going to be right this weekend, which is great for them. You know, no one likes sitting in a grandstand when it's teeming down with rain. I think what Silverstone do as an event, trying to kind of follow in footsteps of circuits like Miami, is turned into like a festival type thing. I think what they do is great. If you go there, it's not just about the racing, it's about everything else that's going on. And also it means that I can drive to the circuit rather than get on an airplane. So on a personal level, I love this race even more.
Wow. I agree, actually. I get to stay with my sister and see some family for once for a couple of nights. But yeah, it is cool. It's just got a good atmosphere to it. Like, there's a good buzz around the place, and you know, it's one of those races where you know you're at a big event because there's just so much going on around it and so many people there. Yeah, it's always good. I'm probably with Nate that Lando doesn't have a chance of winning it, and realistically Lewis and George are very unlikely to win it, but one of those two would be awesome. I'm still going to go for Charles doing it, though. He's been very good at Silverstone. I mean, he nearly won last year, and that car was a dog. So that would be quite cool to see the kind of title race just get a little bit of spark back to it. But yeah, I'm really excited as well to see these cars around that track. Like, the ground effect cars are kind of designed for something like this, smooth, high-speed corners. It's going to be awesome. So yeah, it's going to be a fun... I'm hoping it's going to be a very fun weekend.
That's the other thing, isn't it, about the venues, that it's an awesome track. Like, it's just, I think we often forget about that. It's just been a great venue and it's cool to go as a fan. But actually, it's one of the best tracks on the calendar. It's going to be super tough on tyres. Like you said, watching the ground effect cars around there is going to be cool. Plenty of overtaking opportunities. I know I've just cut you off, Medis, but I've just got excited. So I just wanted to say a lot of things.
It's absolutely fine, Med. I wasn't really going to say much more anyway. I just am one of the three of us that like it. So really boring for podcast content when you say, yep, agree. So hopefully this time next week, we'll be chatting about it and saying how cool it was. And if we're not, then Nate will be doing a Manscaped ad. So there's something funny going on.
Because if Red Bull win this weekend, it'll be their seventh win in a row, won't it?
Yeah.
So let's hope that it is a different, you know, just for the sake of the title race. I think it will be good if Charles can. I think if Charles can win it there, Carlos, I guess, will be in better shape, you know, off the back of a good weekend. Let's see. I don't know. Let's see. I'm optimistic of a good weekend.
Wow. What a headline.
It's the standard team boss headline, eh?
Yeah, exactly. We fall to pieces when Nate disappears, but he's properly gone. So should we just disappear too? Oh,
so we've never done this before. Let's close it off without him and see what happens.
Go quickly. He's coming back. Go quick.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Chris Medland. I don't know where Nate's gone. Disappeared off the face of the planet. So thanks for everyone who's still listening. And please remember to follow us on our social channels at The Pad Hoc. You can read Medis' work on racer.com. My work on F1.com, and I guess I should plug Nate's work on ESPN.com, even though he abandoned us. We'll do this again.
But I'm back.
There he is. No, you were supposed to be on your naughty step, mate.
Sorry.
Muted until we allowed you back into the conversation. It's gone. The podcast is over. It's over.
Oh, I thought maybe you guys had got over Rabbitgate. No? I'll stay. I'll go back. Naughty step.
Bye, Nate.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.